Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago.
Good evening and welcome to Lenny Godfrey Straight, No Chaser. We have a wonderful show ahead of us this evening, but as usual, before I start the show, and I'm sure those of you who tune in every week will say it, mouth it with me, I will have to do a little housekeeping. That's right. I always want everyone to know where they are tuning into, and this is blogtalkradio.com/ S as in Sam, F as in Fred, T as in Tom, H as in Hong, and the number 2. And if you want to dial in, you can dial in and say hello or have you have any questions this evening at 516-453-6063. We have a wonderful, wonderful evening planned for you. This couple I have known now for 11 years. They are in the vicinity of where we all live, and they have been the most welcoming, loving couple that Carl and I have met. They are, for me, a power couple because together they represent just a force in the arts, and I will explain to you why as I introduce one and then the other. But also, they just have such a wonderful, loving spirit. So I was just overjoyed when they consented to come on the program this evening. I am going to be introducing you to Sally and Hong Fu. And what's really interesting about this is not too many times in the program have we been able to really talk to people of a completely different culture who have really come into our culture and understand it at the same time. So this is a blessing for us. So I'm going to start with Sally, who was born and raised in Malaysia. And also she came, and I'm going to ask her, there's a big gap. She was born and raised in Malaysia, and then she came to the United States in 1967. So we're going to close that gap from the time that she was born to when she came here. But before I do that, I just would like to tell you what she did. She was an office administrator in an electronics company, and then she retired early to accompany her husband to Tanzania for 2 years. And we're going to talk about what they did there in Africa and what a fantastic, as she describes it, fantastic experience it was for them. And now one of the things that I can attest to, she says that she enjoys cooking. Not only does she enjoy cooking, those of us who know her very well enjoy eating her food very much because it is absolutely marvelous. They have been married for over half a century. It's 56 years. So therefore, we have a lot to ask as far as how does one really maintain such a wonderful relationship for that many times. And in the power couple that they are, I can say to you now that Hong is the artistic part of this couple, but Sally is the engine that makes it run. And I know she might correct me on that, but absolutely she is. And then I'm going to go to Hong. Now, a lot of these cities and countries I'm probably pronouncing incorrectly, but that's all right. I want them to correct me if I have anything wrong. He was born also in Malaysia, in Penang, and he came to the United States on a full scholarship from the Institute of International Education and United States Information Service. He obtained an AA degree from Lincoln College, and we're going to talk about Lincoln College in a little while because that was one of the first HBCU colleges. It's a historical black college and university, and it was open for 157 years. And then he went on to get his BFA in high honors and MA from the University of Illinois. You talk about travel. Then he went to teach at Commack High School in Long Island for 26 years. He's had showings in Long Island and New York City. And then he took a leave of absence to teach in the Singapore American School. He also, after his retirement, he went to Africa. And as head of the creative arts faculty, he taught international school at Tanganyika, Tanzania, for 2 years. Now, I'm just telling you, I'm fascinated because I'm not familiar with a lot of these places that they've traveled, so I have a lot of questions to ask them. And then to wind it down, he has been exhibited in Africa, South America, Malaysia, Singapore, China, and the United States. He was awarded the Alumni Achievement Award in Art in 2010 by Lincoln College. Now, I'm going to stop now because I could talk for the next 5 minutes on both of them, but I want them to be able to say hello. Hello, Sally and Hong. Say hello to the audience.
Hello, Lily, and all the listeners all over the world. Hello. I hope you're all very well.
Oh, and Hong, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for such wonderful introduction.
Well, you deserve it. But I want to read your artist statement. Hong says, I combine the Eastern philosophy, the Oriental and Western aesthetics and techniques to bring about a harmony of the elements, glorifying peace, love, joy, contentment, by painting the landscape of my mind. Well, that says a whole lot. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful, wonderful statement. Now, I want to start a little bit about with you, Sally. Sally? Now, you were born in Malaysia, but where in Malaysia?
Oh, we were born in Penang.
Oh, both of you were born in Penang. All right.
Yeah, we come from the same little island of Penang.
Mm-hmm.
They call it a mini Hawaii because it's a beautiful island.
Or the Pearl of the
Orient.
Oh, really? How was your childhood? Did you have siblings? Tell me about it a little bit.
Yeah, I have a sister and two brothers, and we were raised up, we spent quite a few years of our lives living in an Indian village. Indian as in from India. So we are well mixed with the Indian culture. And we had Indian friends, and it's just amazing to understand another culture and also to know the similarities of our culture.
Oh, wow. How long did you live there?
I'm not sure. I think it's for 5 or 6 years or something like that.
Mhm. So then you went back to Malaysia. Is that when you met Hong when you all were younger? What? How did that?
well, meeting Hong is a unique story by itself. I met Hong through his sister, and his sister had invited me to attend the wedding eve celebration of his brother when he got married. So that's where we met. And then the story goes, dating started and we got married and that's it.
That's it. That's really quick. Before that, and then I'm going to get to Hong's side. Let me see. It's always two sides to a story as to how the other person sees it. But before that, so you were educated, raised in Penang?
Yes.
Penang.
Penang.
Yes.
Penang?
Yes. I was educated in Penang, and actually I didn't get the chance to go to college because my family, you know, could not afford the expenses. You know, unlike in the United States, you can always get a scholarship or get a loan or whatever, and it's very easy to go to college here. But not in Malaysia. You know, if you don't have the money, then you can say goodbye. So I started working right after high school.
And
I worked as a secretary.
Okay.
In the
That's Hong interviewing you. Where did you work?
With a Caltex manager.
Those are old stories.
Well, now I'm going over now to Hong, because now I've kind of got you. All right, when you were younger, the different cultures that you encountered, came back to Malaysia, then you were educated. Now, Hong, What was different about your whole lifestyle? Tell me about your siblings and what your childhood was like.
I come from a very big family. I've got 6 brothers and 2 sisters. So 7 boys and 2 girls in my family. And I'm right in the middle. I've got 2 older sisters, 2 older brothers, and then 5 older youngest brothers. All except the girls had college education.
And
the oldest one, they went to different countries. One brother went to Canada, one brother went to Scotland, and one brother go to Hong Kong for education. Getting our degrees.
And
so one of them, my eldest brother, because of the Japanese occupation and because of the political situation, he did not go to have the university degree. He works in the school. It's an elementary school as an administrator, and that elementary school was started by my grandfather in our village, and which teaches in Chinese medium. So we all went through this Chinese school, and in our elementary school where we learned Chinese, which at that time is not very common. So that is
Why wasn't it common? Tell me why.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a Malay country.
Okay.
The
and
government
so,
don't support it.
Ah.
So it's the Chinese businessmen and a few philanthropists who would support this. So that's how we got the money to build a school. At first, it's just built by my grandfather and a few friends. And then the two big philanthropists came and helped us to buy a new land and build a new school in our village.
Is that school still there, huh?
Yes, that school is still there. But unfortunately, it was built next to a small little airfield used by the Royal Air Force people for hobby flying.
Oh.
But now that became an international airport. And that is what happened, that now international airport is so loud with every time landing, plane landing and all that. The teachers had to stop teaching whenever there is any landing. Yeah. That's an interesting story.
It's just like the building is there, right?
Yeah, it still have school. I've got children.
Oh, they still have school. Okay.
Yeah, elementary school, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, now, all right.
Yeah.
So that takes care of your elementary school. When did the art start? When did the art start entering into your life?
Yeah, but then I went to transferred to an English medium school, which is government supported, which is a Catholic mission school. I went to in a village about 20 miles from my home. And we have to take a bus there. And then after that one, we went to town to finish up my high school. And after my high school, I received a scholarship that gave me a chance to come to America to study art.
Oh, and that's when you went to Lincoln College, yes?
Yeah, that's when I went to Lincoln, yeah.
Yes, and then in that conversation, I'm going to do a little sidebar. Lincoln College just closed this year. Did you know that? Did it close?
That's right, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. After 157 years, it closed down this year. But you received the Alumni Achievement Award in 2010, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that. So, and then when you got your AA degree there, then you went on to the University of Illinois and got your BFA and then your master's degree in art. What started the art, though? Now, when did you know?
Yeah, this scholarship that I got is the International Institute of Education. They give 5 scholarships to one underdeveloped or developing country of Malaysia. 5 scholarships for the country. And one of them is art education, economics, political science, architecture, and things of that. So I'm the one selected for art education. So after Lincoln College, for 2 years, I was transferred to the University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, which is about 40 miles away from Lincoln College.
Mm-hmm.
Because I picked that one and and continue my education until I got my bachelor of fine arts.
When did you start knowing that you wanted to be a visual artist?
Well, when I got this scholarship, that is my decision for me. I was thinking about going to New Zealand to study architecture. But then when I got this scholarship, I couldn't let go because also at that same time, my younger brother also graduated because we were in the same class. He's younger than me. Although I was held back because of the Japanese occupation, I have rickets. I have some problem, health problem. I miss a lot of school. So I was retained back 1 year, and my younger brother caught up with me. So both of us graduated from high school together, and then he got a scholarship to Singapore to do the medical degree. Yeah.
All right. So now you're in the United States. You've got your degree. Now you go back to Malaysia?
Yes. This is a stipulation that I have to go back to Malaysia to serve the country for 2 years.
Oh.
So I taught for 2 years, and then I got another scholarship back at the University of Illinois, where they gave me fellowship and assistantship.
Mm-hmm.
So I taught, yeah, and for 1 year, then I got my master's degree.
So in the interim, when did you meet Sally during all of this?
When I went back to Malaysia, it was just happened then. That 2 years back in Malaysia, my brother got married, and that's where we met, at my brother's wedding.
So, and in that interim time, now I'm going back to Sally. So, Sally, you were working. So you met Hong, and now he's an art student now. I mean, he's now got art education and all of these things, and now he's got an opportunity to come back to the United States. You all married then?
Yes. I think, yes, we got married, and
mm-hmm.
then he left for the States to continue with his master's education. So, and then a year later, I came to the States to join him.
So how was that transition for you, Sally? I mean, what was that like for you? And did the artistry make it any easier for you? Was the art community welcoming to you? How was that?
Well, you know, I really didn't know much about art, or I didn't even care that much about art. You know, it wasn't in my mind. But I think I learned more about art after we got married. I learned to appreciate and support it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a difficult time, really, a memorable time. In the case of starting an adventure in a far off land, traveling to the United States all by myself. In a plane, the first time
you fly.
In that long journey. It's the first time, and it's a little nervy time.
And she came with a little baby.
The thing is, I think when I say terrible and difficult, was that my mother passed away a few months before I left for the States. And it was time when I was grieving.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And the first time that I was having this big responsibility of traveling by myself, all by myself, and also have to take care, you know, of my baby, Shushu, and also, you know, to come to a country where I didn't know anything about. You know, you hear about the United States, but you really don't know the United States.
Oh,
so it was really a big moment. It was a big moment, yeah.
Well, now, so you're there. Hong, you're getting your degree. What were you
mm-hmm.
thinking your life was going to be like? As now you've got a wife and a child. You're in the United States.
Yeah.
What did you think how did you think you were going to function in this world culturally, being a visual artist? What was that like?
Well, because I'm a teacher and I was enjoying my teaching. I love art, and teaching art is a sure way of living. Because just being an artist is not that easy to support a family.
Mm-hmm.
But I was lucky enough to be hired by a nice school district in Long Island, New York, and that is a fairly good salary comparatively at that time, and I was happy with it and stay with it for 26 years.
Yes. How did the arts influence? Did you ever think of doing anything else other than teaching the art, or did you ever think of, and I know you said it, you know, it's difficult being an artist and mm-hmm. only being an artist. What kept you going as an artist? Just because you teach art doesn't mean that you have to apply it all the time. I know people who teach yeah. art and they're not artists. They're not functioning artists. What made you continue being a functioning artist?
Yeah, that's individual. Because I teach art is as important as painting on my own and have exhibition. So in Long Island, I joined a lot of art society and give demo to different art groups. And I was exhibiting with all the artists in Long Island. So I was very happy with that. Because not all art teachers
mm-hmm.
do that.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't. Mm-hmm.
Another, is as important to me as the teaching.
Yes. The actual art, doing the art work was as important
That's
to you
right.
as teaching. Now, Sally, mm-hmm. how did then, now your family is beginning to grow. How did, you said you didn't know anything about art, but then you began to respect it and support it. How, why did that aspect of it come out in your life? How did it do that for you?
Well, I think the first thing is because that is Hong's interest,
mm-hmm.
and that is his love of life actually,
mm-hmm.
And as I guess as a wife, as a sort of a team, I mean you have to support each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I support him, making sure that you know that he's well cared for, making sure that he has enough to eat and all those stuff. And also, we went to a lot of galleries and art shows,
museums.
So from there, you watch, you see, and you look. And you learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
after seeing the same paintings many times, you sort of get accustomed to it. You sort of know it. And then
mm-hmm.
you look more into the detail and learn more about the artist. And it's really amazing. I mean, art has contributed so much, really, to life, you know, on this planet.
Oh, I think if people look around in their homes, if they take the art work, anything that is contributing to any kind of artistry out of just one room, they would probably have an empty room. I really don't think that that our culture really appreciates the contribution that art makes to our lives. What I'd like to know, too, is, all right, now, Sally, because I'm going to get to this trip to Africa because I can't wait to hear about it. But you're in another country. You're beginning to learn about the museums and you're going to the arts exhibits and all those things. Did the art community welcome you? Was there a group of wives of the artists? Were there women who were artists that you meet? How did that work? Was there anything like that going on at that point in time for you?
Well, you know, we had friends who were artists. So in that way, you know, we talked quite a bit about art, and we begin to understand and know the lives of other artists and their wives and husbands, you know, who support this art. But I think the main thing is not so much about art, but so much about life,
mm-hmm.
living in the United States, in a
mm-hmm.
new country. A new language, a new culture, a new kind of food, and everything was so new. So it took me 5 years to adjust, really, to being comfortable living
mm-hmm.
in the United States.
And also you found the Baha'i faith.
Yes. And also, you know, I wasn't working at that time. I was a full-time housewife taking mm-hmm. care of my daughter. And so I have quite a few free time, right? So,
yeah.
So then we have the radio on and TV on, and there was usually not good news. And
yeah.
being somebody who is always surrounded by people, family, you know, and now I'm alone, and you hear about all these negative news, it was kind of scary, you
mm-hmm.
know, to be alone after Hong has gone to work. So it was quite an adjustment. We had good neighbors, yes, but I think the one that sustained and helped me was the Baha'i community, who really took me in as a member of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And they welcomed me, they made me comfortable, they cared, they called, they asked how I was doing. And it's like having another family in a distant land. And that was a substitute for my own blood family. And that was welcoming. That was very welcoming.
Yes. And how did that, Hong, which one of you got involved in the Baha'i faith first?
I did. I introduced mm-hmm. her to the Baha'i family.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And
mm-hmm.
met the Baha'i in Lincoln College. I was
uh-huh.
searching. I was in the comparative religion class, and I was in the society, interfaith council. And when I heard that there is a religion that welcomes all the religions of them, world, all the major religion of the world, they believe that they are from the same source. Only God is one, mankind is one, and
mm-hmm.
all the religions should agree. So that is what I heard, and that's how I became a Baha'i. Because I couldn't accept, I was in a Catholic mission school I told you about. I cannot accept the fact that only the Christians are saved. Cannot accept that all the good people in all other religions other than Christianity, and they are going to go to hell because they are good people and they have their own belief. So that is why I have this statement about
mm-hmm.
this harmony of all the elements, and then
mm-hmm.
all the philosophies. They should be. We are all come from the same source.
Does that influence the work that you do artistically?
Yes, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because through abstract painting, I'm able to reach a little bit further down into my spiritual education,
mm-hmm.
understand more about spiritual life.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to skip a little bit because we only have about 20 minutes left. See how I said, I told you go fast. See how fast it goes? So I'm going to, you taught in Long Island at the Comac School, high school?
Mm-hmm. Comac High School, yeah.
Yes, for 26 years. Now, after that, between 1975 and 77, you took a leave of absence and you taught at the Singapore American School. How was that?
Yeah.
And did you go, Sally? Did you go?
Yes.
Oh, I tagged
along. Whole family. Yeah.
How was that? And so now you into a whole... How similar or different was the culture that you came from and the culture that you were living in? How similar or different was that for you?
Well, the culture in Singapore is exactly the same culture as in Penang. So it was like going home.
Okay.
Just a little different surroundings.
All right.
The reason I took this step is because we heard that my mother had cancer. And then I took a leave of absence so that I can be closer to her.
I see.
I looked around and found out that there is an international school in Singapore which have got an opening for an art teacher. So I applied.
Uh-huh.
The interesting story about this is that my former art teacher is now in Singapore from the Catholic Mission School. He is the head of the St. Patrick's Institution in Singapore. So I asked him to give me a recommendation. Mm-hmm. And he not only wrote me the recommendation, he invited the principal of the Singapore American School principal for a dinner and talk about me and give the recommendation. So it's a very prestigious school, not easy to get in, but I was able to get in because of him. He is the one, he's called my mentor.
Your mentor. Then you stayed for 2 years? You stayed for 2 years there?
Yes. I stayed for 2 years there. And both my father and my mother passed away in those 2 years.
Oh, I see. I'm so sorry.
So after they passed away, we feel that it's better for me to come back because the school in Comac hold my position for me.
Okay.
For 2 years. At first they said they gave me 1 year. And then they extended it for another year. And then after that, I decided that it's better for me to come back because my children will be going to college in America and it would be more convenient for them. Yeah.
All right. So now you're back. It's in 77. So you taught there in Long Island until 95, right?
95. Mm-hmm.
All right. And so now what made you want to go to Africa? And Sally, you went to South, yes?
Yeah. The reason why, I did not apply to go to Africa. I was applying to go to China to teach in the international school in China. But at that year when I applied for, there is no opening for an art teacher. So we sent our resume to one group called International School Services, ISS. So they have all our resume and the qualifications. So this principal from Africa saw my application and asked me to go to our interview. At first, he refused. I said, I did not apply for Kaguna. They said, come. Anyway, we have a nice chat and see whether you'll be interested. So I went in and was very impressed by what they offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I accepted.
So now,
the interview,
So now you're going to, all right, so I'm trying to figure out how many cultures you all have lived in now. All right. And you say that Singapore was very similar to Penang. So, all right. So but you've got Penang, you've got Singapore, you've got America. Now you're going and so now you're going to Africa. All right. You say, Sally, it was fantastic. Why, Sally?
Oh, it was really fantastic. Not fantastic in the sense of materialism, but fantastic in the sense of I think something with spirituality and something that you really know a little more about life. I was excited about going to Africa. Because, you know, I love people. I love to learn more about their culture. And being in the United States, you hear so much about, you know, the African Americans. And I always, and you know about their sad history.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to learn a little more about them. I wanted to know how was their life before, you know, they were forced to come to this area. So Africa would be a perfect place for me to go because those were the roots. And it was wonderful to find that, you know, the people there were very friendly and loving and very, very simple. simple people, simple-minded, and very, very friendly. And life to them is, in a sense, you know, Tanzania is not a very rich country.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a struggle for a lot of people. And I see their struggle, and I could feel their struggle. And it made me, it gives me some memories of the time when I was growing up, because there are days when, you know, when our family was struggling as well. So I learned the simplicity. And also I learned that life, we cannot take life for granted. You know, in America, it's a land of plenty. We take everything for granted, especially electricity and water, you know. There's nothing to it, right? You don't have to worry about it. So,
exactly.
But not in Tanzania. Water was, what do you call it, rationed?
In the middle.
You know, you never know when the water would stop coming. Electricity is three times a week. You know, a couple of days you don't have electricity. And the water that came out from the faucet, we were lucky to have a faucet, was quite yellow, sort of a little muddy kind of water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you begin to learn and you begin to understand. And really, in some ways, you are in their shoes, you know. You know what I mean? So in that sense, I became to really appreciate, right, what life is, really appreciate, you know, what I have, and that, you know, a simple life is the best.
And now, Hong, you were the head of the creative arts faculty.
Yeah.
And it was at the International School of Tanganyika.
It's Tanzania and Zanzibar. You know of Zanzibar Island.
Yes.
Tanzania, and Zanzibar Island combined to form that Tanzania.
So geographically, it was two islands combined, are you saying?
Not two islands. One state plus the island.
One state plus the island. Okay. So what was, when you taught art, tell me culturally, what were the similarities of the art that you taught in the United States and the differences that you taught when you were in Tanzania?
Mm-hmm. You see, Tanzania, it was formerly a British colony, or British have got the German and then Italian and British influence, this area that we were in. Most recent was the English. A lot of the older folks still speak very good English. And they are not, you can go around, they are speaking English very well. But we learn Swahili as well. We learn a new language.
You learn Swahili, I see. Mm-hmm. And what was the difference in your curriculum? Was different?
Yeah. Education-wise, they follow the British system. International Baccalaureate, you heard about the IB program? International Baccalaureate. It's for international school. You can either follow an American program or a British program. This is more geared to the British program. So I taught arts for IB exams. Their examination is slightly different, and they have got a very, very interesting way of evaluating students with an external examiner.
Hmm.
So I said right in, I was the head of the arts department, including music and theater and visual arts.
So you headed up the whole arts department. How different do you think the arts influenced that culture as opposed to our culture? Is there a similarity and difference?
Yeah, they all follow the Western curriculum. So that's what we taught. Well, Western art mostly, yeah, even art history and all that, because they have to come, because we are preparing the students to come to America or to England.
I see.
All the students, yeah.
So ultimately, they're all in preparation and coming to either England or to America.
So the
discipline in learning is very similar to a lot of what we do here, so that they can assimilate easily.
That's right. In fact, there is a printer in Allentown I met, and he saw my resume and said, "Oh, I went to that school, international school.
Really?
He is now a printer. Yeah, he owns a printing shop in Allentown.
Ha! Huh. Amazing.
Yeah, he said that he and his brothers and sisters all go to that school. It's a small world.
So given all of that, yes, given all the travels and everything that you all have done, where do you think visual artistry fits into our culture now? When I say that there was a time when museums were very, very popular and exhibits were very, very popular. Are they as popular now? Or where do you think it's going now?
Well, I have exhibited quite a lot, and then my paintings were accepted in the museum in Singapore and Malaysia, which is it. But I think right now a lot of the art that I encounter, which is not in my area, not in my field. I was talking about this modern art where they move a few stones and call it an artwork, or move to the earth and wrap the bridge around with expensive material for a few days and call it an art. That I don't, I don't subscribe to. And it's not that much of my interest. Yeah, I'm still old-fashioned.
Yes, you're old school. Sally, how do you feel? I mean, observing all that you've observed over the years, how do you feel about the way that the art world is now progressing? Do you think, what do you think about it?
I think art, as in a lot of things, are very subjective, right? Someone can love the art and someone can hate the art. But I think all in all, in general, art has played, really, whether you know it or not, an important role in your life. Because think of during the time of the pandemic, the last couple of years, you know, it's a challenging time. Mm. And art allows people to express themselves, either in dance, in music, or in visual arts, to express their feelings in this time of difficulty. And also, it gives hope. The beauty of art gives hope. And also, I think it especially in visual art, when you look at a painting, it brings peace and tranquility to your heart. It doesn't matter what kind of circumstance you are in, but looking at the painting and feeling, you know, it's like you're talking to the painting or the painting is talking to you. It sort of affects the feeling in your heart. And it changes from, if you're depressed or unhappy, it changes that into one of joy and hope. And for a few moments, you are transported to a happy plane. And that's what I love about the art. I mean, I don't appreciate art as I should. You know, there's so many things to learn about art. But I could feel this impact of art in my life. So I'm sure many people feel the same way as I do.
I think so. I think that, you know, we have to realize that, like I said earlier, the impact that art has on our lives is massive. You all have raised your children in the world of art. How do you think that art has influenced their lives? Do you think that you've influenced any of your children or grandchildren to be patrons of the arts? Patrons of the arts?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of my grandsons graduated from Savannah College of Art. He is now a creative director of one of the company for display and for display. This is art. It's design, yeah. Art and design. Anyway, he is a creative director in New York City. My grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Our
daughter may not be in visual art like the father, but she is a very good writer.
Mm-hmm.
She's very good in creative writing. And I think she also has an eye for interior decorating, because they decorate their house beautifully. You know, and I'm not talking about decorating with expensive antique things, but just simple things, you know, that are really very pleasing to the eye.
And do you think this influence came from you all, you know, of the exposure that you all gave them with the art?
I don't really know. We hope so, but we don't know, and we never ask. Maybe that will be a good question to ask them. Yeah.
Well, you know, that'll be good. If we get an opportunity for them to hear this broadcast, that will be an interesting conversation that you all will have with them after you share the broadcast with them.
A great idea.
You know, what?
That will be family talk.
Yes.
Family talk.
Yes.
Thank you, Lily.
You're welcome. You know, this has been so informative because it's interesting to be an artist in my world, my performing artist, and you see things. I think you get immediate gratification from the applause of an audience and everything else. But a visual artist doesn't get the immediate gratification. You get recognition and you get an opportunity to exhibit your work. But it's not as immediate as mine is, but the effects are very, very similar when you talk about hope and bringing joy and things like that. You hope that people will be able to enjoy what you've put into the work thus far, you know? You do really hope that's something that you do bring it. I know we only have about 2 minutes, but if anyone has, the board is lit up. Does anyone have any questions? We've been talking so much, and I wanted to get all the stories in about all of your travels and how the arts have really influenced your life, the arc of your life together. It's a 56, 57 year union that you all have here. And it seems still to be going strong as you are still painting, Hong, such beautiful, beautiful paintings. And I, again, like I said, I shared some of them on Facebook. so people can see your work.
You can share with my website.
Say it again. Say what it is.
HongTatFu.weebly.com. That's my website.
All right.
HongTatFu.weebly. WEEBLY.
Okay.
.com.
.com. All right.
Yeah.
All right. That's, and I would suggest that people go and try to see that, because it's really beautiful work. I just sat there just looking at it today. And I don't think anything could come any better than that, because of your relationship with your partner that you have there. You've got a wonderful, wonderful partner, and I'll say partner in crime, your first lady, Sally.
The first lady of the house.
The first lady of the house. She is there. Yes, she is there for you, and is always there, and is always so supportive. And I really thank you both. I can't thank you enough. We're at the end of this program now. I wanted to ask you, is there anything that you want the audience to know about you that I didn't ask to this evening?
No. You have to ask a lot of questions. And very, very, very well.
Well, I have just a simple thing to say, that life is precious. And treasure it.
Yes.
And live it.
Yes.
One should look beyond race and look for unity, love. Love conquers all.
It does. Well, with that, I'm going to end our program this evening. We've got a little less than 2 minutes left. I would like you all to thank Hong and Sally Fu, and thank everyone for tuning in. Next week, I have a wonderful young lady that's coming in. Her name is Liz Player, and she is the executive and artistic director of the Harlem Chamber Players in New York City. So that should be very interesting, and hopefully we'll get some music in there. But if you want to see this art, this beautiful artwork, please go to Hong's website, and I will put his website on the Facebook and Twitter accounts so that you all can go and visit. And with that, I'll see you all next week. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Sally and Hong. And
so much, Lenny, for this wonderful conversation.
You're welcome.
For inviting us. Thank you.
Thank you for accepting. And I thank you again. And I'll talk to you all next week. Thank you for listening to Lenny Godfrey, Straight No Chaser.
This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you. You never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's too hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever, in the morning, fever all through the night. Listen to me, baby, hear every word I say. No one can love you the way I do, 'cause they don't know how to love you far away. You give me fever.